Is it ever a good morning? It is time to skip the BS. Time for Undisputed. It's time for NBA playoffs or play in. Here we go. Time for Lakers at Pelicans tonight, 7:30 Eastern on TNT, followed by Warriors at Kings on TNT. Cannot wait. Of course, Sunday at New Orleans, the Lakers, as Pel's coach Willie Green said, came out and punched us in the mouth. Yep, the Lakers went right after the Pel's like Mike Tyson in his prime. Bam, bam, bam. Lakers won the first half 70-53, the game 124-108, no contest. Yet Vegas wasn't that impressed. Lakers opened as only a one-point favorite, but somehow the money is just falling in all over the Pelicans because they're suddenly 1.5-point favorites? Whew. Which brings me to a Laker lover, Keyshawn Johnson, and a Celtic lover, Celtic great Paul Pierce, who can't help having a little healthy dislike for the Lakers, which I
Morning,
welcome.
Skip.
How are you? And how
What's
are
up?
You?
What's up?
All right, here we go. Paul, you first. What shot do you give the Pelicans of bouncing back and winning this game?
As much as I can't stand the Lakers, Skip,
yeah,
I don't give Pelicans much of a chance. I just think they've been thoroughly dominated by the Lakers all season long, 3-1 by an average of, what, 15 points a game?
Yep.
I mean, LeBron just looked at them like a piece of chicken and just yep. ate them all up.
He did.
I mean, he just went to the basket at will. And this is the time of the year where you're going to see a motivated LeBron who understands the moment. Now, if AD is able to play, I think they walk away with an easy win. But if not, it's going to be a problem. But from all things I've heard, that AD will be out there. So I believe the Lakers get this in convincing fashion. Actually, you know, free throws is going to be an issue. I actually have the Lakers going to shoot. They're going to shoot about 35 free throws tonight.
Yeah.
So if the Pelicans aren't making their threes, and Zion doesn't have a big game trying to get AD in foul trouble, because that's the key. I think you got to go at AD. He got his lingering back issues. You got to find a way to get Zion on AD and attacking him. If you can get him in foul trouble, you got a chance. But I just think.
Okay, so you think but on Sunday the Lakers shot 18 free throws to the Pelicans, 14. You think it's going to be way wider?
I think it's going to be wider.
All right.
I just think way they're going to attack the game because now it's a playing situation to where I think the whistle is going to be a little tighter and LeBron is going to attack, AD is going to attack, and I just think with the way the Lakers, their free throw disparity on the year, it just didn't even make sense with the rest of the leagues.
That's what they do. Yeah.
And so, national televised game, I don't know.
It sounds like you're saying that the refs will get the memo that the Lakers got to advance. Is that right? It's a memo.
Here's the memo.
Here's
guys,
another memo.
Lakers are playing for the
Make
play
this
in.
Happen, Mr.
Lakers
referee.
Lakers are playing.
Yep.
They got the memo.
Well, you know, when you beat a team on a season 3-1 and your margin of victory is 26 points, you don't necessarily need the whistle, all right? What did we have, 50-plus odd points in the paint on them two nights ago?
Well, it was 68-42 in the paint.
So 68-42. So we got 68.
The rebounds were dead even. It was 39 all, but the points in the paint is what matters.
The points in the paint is key. So when you start talking about the whistles are going to loosen up for the Lakers, that may be true. There was opportunities for that to happen the other night, where LeBron and company was going to the cup getting fouled. They just wasn't calling them. You know, it should have been many and ones.
Yeah.
But that didn't take place. Look, the Lakers know what's at stake. Like Paul said, I've been saying all week long for the last couple weeks, these veteran players like a LeBron James, they understand the moment. Okay, what is it that I got to do now? Despite the 35 minutes throughout the course of the season, logging my minutes, I've been playing all this. I played 70-plus games. Push all that in the back door.
Yep.
Now I'm here. This is a one and done situation.
Yep.
Well, it's you can call it one and done. It's two and done. But at the end, for the Lakers, it's one and done. Because if you lose to the Pelicans, there is no guarantee that you're going to beat the Kings or the Warriors. I don't care where you play them at.
No guarantee.
No guarantee. So don't mess around with it. Don't play around with it. Let's take care of business and let's get ready to take on Denver. And I think that's the mentality. LeBron's going to play. Okay, AD's going to play just based on it being spasms. He's had more than 24 hours to recover. They've got things that'll help you heal very fast when it's important. And this is a very important situation for them. And I don't think that the New Orleans Pelicans to the Lakers are going to be, it's not going to be fair. Okay. It's probably going to be one of those 125, 104 type games in the end. Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
Pelicans favored by one.
I don't care about that. That got something to do with them saying that the players is banged up right now. That's all that is.
To your point, something is going on right now, and we just heard this just as the show opened, so I don't have time to get on the phone. I don't have time to do any research. I am off the top of my head. I just know I've been doing this for a long time, and something is up.
Yeah, it's
iffy. Because they went from a one-point favorite, the Lakers, to a one-and-a-half-point underdog overnight in just a few hours. So that's a two-and-a-half-point betting favorite swing. Somebody got something from somewhere about somebody's banged up. Is it AD or is it? And it would almost have to be AD is iffier than he was yesterday. And I don't know if
maybe
somebody
they got a
tweeted
hold of some
something.
Bad gumbo or something.
I don't know.
No, they got to get this win.
They
got to get this win because it gives them 4 days of rest. You know, you got to see Denver. You need that 4 days of film, practice time,
Denver
rest.
Game one would be Saturday at
yeah,
Denver.
Yeah, so you get that rest. If you get the win tonight.
Do you travel from New Orleans straight to Denver?
No, you go home, get some rest. We go home, get some rest. Let's rest AD. Let's get him 3-4 days of rest, get his back all the way back right. And I like what you said, actually, of taking on Denver first in the first round because you got fresh legs instead of going through, you know, 2 or 3 playoff series. And then by the time you get to a conference finals, everybody's banged up.
Okay. We're down and all that.
All right. We're going to get to all
Because we
above.
Are playing better basketball right now than Denver's playing good, but we're playing better basketball. Okay. We're just playing better.
I got you. I want to focus for a moment on the Pelicans because they're way better than they played on Sunday. And that coach is a really good basketball coach who's been doing this for a while there now, sometimes in the shadows. But I'm going to say this up front. I believe Willie Green is a little better coach than Darvin Ham is. And I think he will get his team ready to play much readier than they were on Sunday. I believe this is a very dangerous game for the visiting team. And I believe this one will have to be won down the stretch. Somebody for the Lakers is going to have to close this deal because this one is going to the wire. I completely disagree with you right here, right now. And I don't want to bet against the Lakers that I picked to win the West. But if you want to give me all those points, I may have to think about it because I don't think it's going to be anything like that. I think this one is going to be scratch and claw to the bitter end. I wouldn't be shocked if it goes overtime. And the biggest point I thought about Sunday that got underreported was that the Pelicans had aircraft trouble in Golden State after they had beaten Golden State on Friday night, and they got stuck there for like 20 extra hours because they couldn't get a plane. And it messed them up, and the Lakers got to New Orleans way before the Pelicans got home to New Orleans. Now, you can jump in. Does it matter? Maybe not. But sometimes it just messes up your psyche and your timing and your rhythm and your schedule. And you can't quite get back on, get ready for an afternoon game because it was an earlier game, obviously, because every game started at, 12:30 out here. Right. So it was a 2:30 game there. I don't know. They just didn't look like they were ready to play. And LeBron especially was completely, utterly locked in, ready to play.
The Lakers' margin of victory against the Pelicans is 26 points this year.
Yeah, okay. So 26. Do you think that's what's going to happen in this game? Because I don't.
I do. Pretty close to it. I don't. If nothing's changed in the four games that they or the three games that they've won,
all right.
What makes you think all of a sudden it's going to change now?
They got to implement Ingram back in. He's been out for a while.
All right, so he played 23 minutes the other day, and he made 6 out of 9 shots, which is pretty good, but they couldn't get him back in the flow. It was hard because he's been gone for a while.
Right.
What did they do without him on the road? They just came off a road trip in which they won 4 straight games.
Yeah.
They won at Phoenix by 8. They won at Portland, no big deal, by 10. Then they won at Sacramento by 12. And then they went to Golden State and won by 5. Tell me that's not impressive.
That's impressive without Brandon Ingram. But now you got to implement that
now
in there.
You got to reingratiate.
You got to recalibrate everything.
I got
now.
It.
So it throws everything off. Because when you got a rhythm with a certain five and a certain rotation, it's going. But then you got an actual star player who's coming, who's an all-star on their roster. You got to readjust to him. So it kind of threw them off, I think. And that's why the Lakers was able to beat them down. So I don't know. You know, they're going to continue to recalibrate him into the lineup and try to get him going. They force feed him. He got nine shots, so you got to expect him to get more. He's going to want more as they ramp it up going into the playoffs, if they make the playoffs, because he's an important piece to them.
Well, is he? Yeah.
But
okay.
You don't want that this late in the season
right.
to just try to
so
get your chemistry back.
This game was won in the first half because LeBron James had 13 assists in the first half. I believe he had 11 in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So you could even say it was won in the first quarter, but for sure in the first half because they won decisively in both quarters. So they're up 17 and a half. Then the second half was played even Steven all the way. And the Pelicans still made their threes. They made 15 to 11 for the Lakers. So they shot it pretty well.
Yeah.
They just got annihilated in the paint. Yeah. Valanciunas barely stayed in the game. He ended up playing 7 minutes because Willie Green said he's got no chance against AD. I got to just see if we can small ball him to death.
I think AD yeah. had, what, four fouls anyway, right? Did he have, what did he have, four?
Four fouls. Let's see. Personal fouls.
I think he had four.
He did. He had yeah. four fouls. Okay.
So he didn't even play.
Well, he didn't even play the last 6 minutes because he
no,
had
no, but
his
he didn't even
fouls.
Play some of yeah. the most of the third quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So the point is, this team has played very well on the road, but it hasn't been a very good home team, which is right. weird. But the Lakers, remember, they have the worst road record of any of the 10 playoff teams in the West. They're 19-21 on the road. They're horrible on the road for a team of this caliber and this magnitude.
And a lot of their road losses, though, came early in the season, though,
yeah.
too. The
okay.
Lakers were horrible on the road earlier in their year.
All right. So the point is, can they just snap their fingers again and go in there and just punch them right in the mouth? Just like, no, we got this?
Man, Pelicans are psychologically bruised.
Okay.
I mean, come on. You got Skip. If you see a boxing match and somebody knocks you out, do you want that again? You think twice about it. You like, I don't know if I like playing, want to fight him again. This is what the Lakers have been doing to the Pelicans. They didn't knock them out three times, and they psychologically just they're not ready for the Lakers. And that might be a better path to lose to the Lakers. And at least they don't have to see Denver if they lose, and then say they come back and beat either Golden State or Sacramento. I like the Pelicans if they have to match up against OKC. They got a better shot. So I think it doesn't matter what they do tonight as far as the Pelicans is concerned.
Okay. I just think that Brandon Ingram, remember, once upon a time, a Laker,
yeah.
was traded away
like
for AD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't think he's spoiling to get even with them tonight? He's going to come out on a mission, and he can play. He can play at a high level.
He can play for sure.
Yeah. So – all these guys, Herbert Jones and Alvarado coming off the bench, I think they're going to play possessed tonight. And it's going to come down to who's going to close for you guys. And I'm still not sure who your closer is. Is it Austin Reaves? Is it LeBron? Is it
AD? I don't
AD?
Think we're going to need a closer tonight, okay. to be honest with you.
We'll see. Right.
I think they continue the same beat moving forward.
I think they close the game on two made free throws from LeBron up by one.
Seriously? do you believe that?
Two made free throws
okay.
by LeBron.
Well, you just made the case that it's going to be a wipeout.
No,
I said that.
I think Paul said they've got them.
I'm saying if it's a close game, LeBron is going to close it.
Okay.
Two made free throws.
I would love to see that because I haven't seen that all year. I saw it on Friday night at Memphis.
Skip.
I saw it at Memphis against the G League Memphis Grizzlies. I didn't even know one starter on that team. Right? So, are you trying to put the pressure on LeBron?
No, I think they're going to get to the line. You said who's going to close it. I think he's going to close
LeBron
it tonight.
He knows
he's going to know what's at stake.
Yeah.
He's going to need these.
He's 74% free throw shooter this year.
He was 6 of 6 the other night, Skip, yeah. from the line.
Yeah, in a not close game, right? Is that what you're talking
but
about?
But it doesn't matter. He still was yeah. 6 of 6.
Hey, you're acting like that's a feat?
Yes, for him
for
it
him,
is.
For him, that's a feat?
Yeah.
Wow.
6 of 6 is a feat, Skip, for him.
All right. I just believe that somebody must be hurt somehow. I don't know if AD can't go tonight, they're not going to win this game. If that's what's happening right now.
No, I think they still win if AD. I think
really?
They still win. Yeah.
No, if AD.
Well, you guys have no respect for the Pelicans.
If AD don't play tonight, they can't. They not winning tonight. They're not gonna have an answer for Zion Williams, who's just a.
Just put LeBron on him again.
No, he's too strong for LeBron at this point.
LeBron did a great job on him the other day. LeBron did the same thing in the play-in game.
And then, not the playing
it's
game.
Not
no,
gonna be, you know how hard it is to beat a team.
The tournament game.
How hard it is to beat a team back-to-back on their home floor.
Well, that's my point. That's what I've been saying.
But if AD doesn't play, I don't got the Lakers winning.
Okay.
AD plays, I think they win.
And you're saying with no AD, they win?
They still win.
God, you think, I could probably tell you there's going to be no AD, no LeBron, and no Austin Reeves, and you'd say, oh, we're still going to win.
No, I wouldn't say that, but as long as you got LeBron James, you got a fighting chance, man.
Okay, well, I agree with that.
AD is the key to this team, though.
Long term.
No, right now. They go as AD goes. You know this, because you don't know which AD you're going to get night in and night out. We know what to expect from LeBron. Hopefully the role players can fill their roles and do what they're supposed to do. But when AD comes with it and act like he's the best player in the league, which on some nights he shows and looks like, then they're unbeatable.
Yeah, so, I understand so that. But I think if he does not go, if he doesn't go tonight, then you got the other guys, the Ruiz, the Austin Reeveses, the D-Lows.
If he don't go tonight, they're going to need Austin Larry Bird Reeves. They're going to need...
Of course.
They're going to need D-Lo.
And those guys, and they have to step up
And
fill that void.
That's not going to happen, though.
Okay, so AD, the other day at New Orleans, goes 13 of 17, scores 30 points, and has 11 boards, and he beat up on Valanciunas so badly so early that they just yanked him and just said, you can't play the rest of the game. That's how bad that was. That was just shamefully bad.
Yeah, they need that. That's what I'm saying.
Of course we need it, but if we don't have it, I still think that we can win the game.
No. AD is the key to the Lakers doing anything, making the playoffs, going deep in the playoffs. Any chance at all is going to be on
AD. So you don't think LeBron can carry them past the Pelicans with the help of the others?
Not today. Not today. With no AD, back-to-back wins in New Orleans, I just see a motivated. There's nobody that's going to be able to stop Zion on a night like this. They know that they need this game too, and Zion know, hey, LeBron was guarding me last game. That's not going to happen again.
Yeah, because
this is not going to happen again.
Went 4 of 13.
Yeah, this is not going to happen.
Yeah, everything was in the paint.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he do.
Yeah, but I got my money on LeBron.
Okay, so he had LeBron banging on him, and he had AD lurking, and Zion goes about 6'5", maybe. Mm-hmm. And when he gets banged on, and then he's got to go up over height, he gets equalized.
I mean, that's actually a good strategy, putting LeBron on Zion, because more oftentimes than not, LeBron is not going to get caught for those cheap fouls. You know what I'm saying? Whereas when somebody else is guarding him, he's able to impose
his will for Zion.
You know, so.
Plus, LeBron's one of the few men in the league who's man enough to bang, enough just to hold his ground.
So they're going
to
let a lot of, bump, holding and grabbing and hard shoulders to the chest go a little more than normal when you got LeBron. When you got two superstars like that, especially LeBron, they're not going to call those fouls. So that's actually really a good strategy to put them on Zion, who likes to impose his will.
Can't have LeBron foul out.
No, he's not going to foul out.
That will not ever happen.
They don't give him two fouls.
LeBron can't have LeBron foul out.
I can't remember the last time Bron fouled out. I think it was when I was playing. I mean,
I've never known him foul out. I'm sure he has, but I've never known him foul out.
Last time I remember, when we played him in the playoffs, 2010, that's the last time he fouled out.
Hey, man, MJ didn't foul out either, so what?
Did you foul out LeBron?
We both actually fouled out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was a playoff game.
It wasn't the shootout game.
Okay. But that 14 years ago, the last time I can remember LeBron fouling out a game.
We got to keep him on the court.
How many of those fouls did you draw?
I probably drew about 3 or 4 on
them. Okay.
You was hacking him up.
No, I was hacking him. He was hacking me.
And finally, this brings us to the X Factor tonight. Keyshawn's favorite player, D'Lo, as in D'Angelo Russell, who made 5 out of 10 threes on Sunday.
Give me that again. Give me 6 of 10.
Are you going to get that again?
Give me 6 of 10.
Okay, 6 of 10.
You might.
Okay.
You might get that from me.
What's your prediction?
I think he knows
right now, based on the way he played in the playoffs last year,
yep.
that this is a start. This is a new year. It's the start of the playoffs, even though it's the play-in.
Yep.
We are expecting him to start where he finished.
Yeah.
That's what we're expecting. So give me 6 of 10.
Okay. I'm going to warn you. C.J. McCollum has just been on one lately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
He made 4 out of 9 threes. He's capable of going 8 out of 12. Yeah. Highly capable. Mm-hmm. And Trey Murphy III, trust me, he's highly capable in that building of going better than 3 of 6.
We need to counsel them out between Austin Reeves and D'Lo. We've got to counsel them out.
C.J. McCollum is the key to that team, truthfully. I think, like, when he plays well.
He's so smooth.
Like, yeah, when he plays when he's shooting lights out with the combination of him and Zion Williams, they're tough to beat. I mean, we're seeing a side of C.J. You know, he was good in Portland, but he's really taking the lead.
He has. I agree.
I like what he's doing for this ball club.
And yet, I wonder whatever happened to that guy, LeBron James, from three, because remember that one game is just a couple of weeks back. He made 9 out of 10. Yeah. And ever since, I don't know. He hung on to his 40% for the year. He did. He hung on to it. But he was 0 for 2 on Sunday.
There's
from
no
three.
Need to shoot threes when you're up by 30.
Oh, that's how.
No, but I actually like threes. Him attacking the basket.
Yeah. So do I.
You
agree.
Can't stop me. I'm attacking the basket. Yeah. I can get my threes because I can get an and one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to give it that? Well, do you think we'll get one of these tonight?
Huh? For the play-in game?
Yeah. He celebrates play-ins.
No, we can't do that for the play-in.
No.
Why not?
We're going to have to wait.
Wait a second.
Wait a second. Hold on.
He celebrated Memphis the other night. He did. He celebrated at the end of the game. He's going crazy.
He stole on the fast break. They was trying to push the ball up the court. He jumped in front of the dude, stole it. It did like a little, I don't know what it was, reverse dunk.
Yeah,
and
Ja
was over there. So he ran up to Ja. Him and Ja. Here, go right here, man.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Look at that, a contest dunk. That would have won the slam dunk right
there. And see, he talking about that would have won the slam dunk contest. LeBron got about 1 foot off the ground.
Come on, man. Oh, that's right. He was out of gas at the end of the game. He played 41 minutes.
Oh, God.
41
Look
minutes.
How high he jumped, Paul. He talking about this. He could have done this in the slam dunk contest.
No, this is crazy, though.
Look at this.
Still doing that dunk.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good dunk.
He barely was able to do that.
Barely?
Yes.
I thought he did it easy.
Oh, God, stop.
Look at him. Backtracking.
That looked easy.
No, it was easy, but it had no lift to it, is all I'm saying.
Like he usually have.
No lift to that.
He didn't need to lift. He just did it casually.
And he said he's celebrating just because him and Ja is jawing back and forward.
No, he was celebrating.
Ja gave him some props, it looked like.
Yeah.
He was proud of himself for beating the Memphis Grizzlies featuring Scottie Pippen Jr. Way to go.
LeBron fouled out in his 21 years, Junior. 8 times. So just
LeBron
so you know.
LeBron fouled out 8 times in 20. Damn.
Last night, I watched the WNBA draft for the first time ever.
Me too.
I mean, I've caught bits and pieces before, but I watched pretty much the whole WNBA draft along with Paul Pierce. And that draft started with Caitlin Clark going first, of course, to the Indiana Fever. And I guess I've caught WNBA fever mostly because of Caitlin Clark. But I wanted to see where South Carolina's Camila Cardoso went. She went third to Chicago. And where LSU's Angel Reese went. She fell a little bit to seventh, also to Chicago. And even where UConn's Nika Mule went, she was the second pick in the second round to Seattle. All because I watched all of them play against Caitlin Clark. The Las Vegas Aces, the defending WNBA champs, have already moved their July 2nd game against Caitlin's Fever from a 12,000-seat arena to a 20,000-seat arena. And remember, the Fever are coming off a 13-27 season. In this morning's USA Today, Nancy Armour wrote that the WNBA, long criticized for not promoting its stars, better not blow what Nancy called its quote-unquote magic bird moment. Christine Brennan wrote a column under the headline, Caitlin Clark is the best thing to happen to the WNBA. Why are some players so frosty toward her? Diana Taurasi said on ESPN that reality is coming for Caitlin. A lot of pressure on Caitlin Clark. So will she live up to it? Can she live up to it? Paul Pierce, will she be able to dominate pro basketball the way she did college basketball?
She won't be dominant. She's not going to come out here and average 30 points on the best, you know, women's league in the world. But she's going to be really damn good. I'll tell you that. But the thing is, she got to be prepared for is and be ready for night in and night out that she's going to be playing against somebody just as good as her. And she's going to have a target on her back. You heard what Taurasi said. I mean, it's kind of like almost, I wish, you know, some of the older players, retired and current players would embrace this. Because look what she's done to the women's game. She's uplifted it. Skip, you watched the draft.
I'm watching for the first time.
Like, you're going to watch her first game when she plays.
Did you not watch her last three college games?
Yeah, absolutely.
You just did.
I never done that before. I never watched the girls' game until the Final Four.
Yeah.
You know, we started watching from first round that she played. So, you know, they got to embrace this somehow, the older players, retired players, because of what she's done for the game, for the girls' basketball game. Now, you know, it's just more captivating having a girl like this who's done some of the things she's done. Will she dominate? I think she's going to be an all-star. I mean, I don't know if there's that dominant for a rookie. I think she'll be an all-star. Yeah. I'm definitely going to try to go to some games personally, just live. Yeah. You know, so I hate that we give her the criticism or the sort of slight hate that was there. But I think she's going to be damn good, and I'm going to be watching.
You're going to be watching.
I'm going to be watching.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I, for sure I'm going to watch. Your question is, will she continue her play that she had in college the same way in the
WNBA? She averaged 30 and 9 assists.
I mean,
it's hard to say that that's going to take shape when you're a rookie and you go into the pros. Can she be rookie of the year? Yeah. Her new teammate with the Fever.
Aaliyah Boston
was rookie of the year.
And remember, she was just a year ago, she was the first
and
overall
a year
pick.
Ago, she was the first
and
overall
she's
pick.
She's 6 feet, 5 inches tall.
So when you look at it, she has the ability to do some of those things. I guard against putting people
I hear you.
Too far in front before. Because these women that are in the WNBA, they've been there a long time, man. They got, you know, they got things they got to do to get to, you know, they try to make money.
Mm-hmm.
They not sitting around just going to allow somebody to walk into their league.
Let me read the second half of the Taurasi quote to your point.
Go ahead.
You look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come into a league with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time.
I look at all sports that way.
Yeah.
So when you approach it, and I don't think Caitlin is approaching it as I'm getting ready to take this league over by storm. I don't think she's approaching it that way. She's going to approach it with caution. Because, look, there's going to always be some, no matter what it is, jealousy, not necessarily hate, envy about where she is, how she's propped up.
Definitely.
I mean, she'll make north of $3 million this year just in endorsements alone. Her base salary will be about $85,000 for the 4 years that she's there. She's getting about $340,000. Break that down. That's about $85,000 per season.
I know. Her fourth year is $97,500. You're kidding.
That's not
$97,000.
For some reason, I told Paulus, I don't know where I got the weird number in my head, but I thought they was making like $500,000 a year playing at the WNBA. Nevertheless, those women that are there that have won championships, been in playoffs, made deep playoff runs.
Yeah.
They're not going to cash in on the endorsement side the way she is in her rookie season. They're just not. So you're going to have people saying to themselves, we ain't going to lock her down. It's not going to be easy. Everybody everybody ain't going to just allow her to just shoot threes. They're going to try to do what they can to defend her. And then those assists, they're going to make her show that she can pass the ball when times get rough. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. I think she'll do well. I just don't know how well. That's what I have to go to Paul and go to WNBA women that I know to ask that question.
It's hard to live up to a certain type of hype. You haven't seen nobody come into a league this hyped up since probably LeBron James.
Like, that's true.
Well, Candace was pretty.
Yeah, but not. It just the whole this sport is, wasn't on this pedestal
at
that point.
Yeah. This is equivalent to like when LeBron came and he had a target on his back. He was the crowning, the next king before he played one NBA game. Before he played one NBA game. And this is similar to that, the hype. So, you know, it's going
to
be all type
of pressure.
To your
point, do I think Candace was better at this age going into her first year of pro basketball than Caitlin is right? I do.
I just remember Candace coming out of Tennessee
And I was just like, she was ridiculous.
She was ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's the last time I think it was really this. They had this much yeast on it. Okay. Was with Candace.
She won MVP or rookie year, didn't she?
Yeah, she won MVP and rookie of the year. And I feel like they won a championship.
I don't know, rookie year.
I know she won MVP.
Yeah, I know she won MVP.
Okay, and because of that, if you're Candace right now watching this happen, are you just a little bit, resentful?
I done won championships. I'm on TNT now. I'm good. I'm not tripping at all.
Can Caitlin win MVP or rookie year?
I mean, I guess you can.
Ooh.
Listen, if the Fever go from
one of the worst teams,
they're 13 and 27.
Yeah. Like, say they make the playoffs, they win 25 games.
Candace was different.
Well, Candace is also 6 feet five.
And I was about to say she was an
impact on both ends of the court, but that's don't show that she's stealing the ball, she's assisting, she's shooting lights out. She can win MVP her rookie year.
I don't know, man. It's hard to comment on something I really don't know much about, because all I could do is refer to people that play in the league that I know, or NBA people that I know that actually talk about her game.
This is going
to
be one of the best 1-2 punches in girls basketball.
Hey, with her and Aaliyah. Kelsey Mitchell last year was a deadly three. She was a 40% three-point shooter. Yeah. I think they got three big pieces.
That's what I'm saying.
And Kelsey Mitchell was the second overall pick in 2018, so they've been stockpiling high-pick talent.
That's what I'm saying. This could be a really good team next year. They could have a quick turnaround here.
All right, what's the biggest fascination with Caitlin Clark? It's that she shoots Steph Curry threes.
Yeah.
She's shooting logos threes, and she's jump shooting. It's not set shoot with your feet on the floor the way Magic shot them or, you know, John Stockton shot them. She is jumping and launching with ease, like effortlessly. We've been watching these highlights, and I just say, she just flicks her wrist.
But can she do that against five-year WNBA veterans?
I think it's going to be much more difficult. I think she will be guarded much more physically than she was guarded.
Tighter up on her. That is correct.
And what she's going to have to learn to do that she did not do much, if any, of at Iowa was she would dribble the ball up the floor at Iowa and create her own shot with her handle. Yeah. Well, she needs to do a little Reggie Miller in Indiana where you run through some picks and run around. I never saw her shoot a corner three. I couldn't remember shooting one corner three because she doesn't. Because everything's going to come from the wings or up top because she's got the ball in her hands.
Yeah, you got to keep the ball in her hands. She's such a great passer.
Okay, I understand. But there are going to be times when that's going to get shut down and she's going to have to give up the ball to Kelsey and run off three screens and get open in the corner.
And you've seen her do that.
We need to see more of that. But she said last night that she feels like her passing goes under the radar and is underappreciated. And I will agree with that because I got mesmerized by her passing. I think you did, too.
But can you pass the same way?
I think that translates with her handle and the way she shoots.
If you got a guard or player who shoots that good off the dribble and you're all the way up on her guard, she's going to have lanes to go by a person because you got to respect the jumper. So if she's getting by people and you're helping, she's going to be able to find people because she has a great IQ. I think her shooting opens up her passing. You know, when that's going down and that's you got to come up and think about it. You got a sleep-footed guard getting up on her just because they don't want her to shoot a three. It's going to open up lanes and she's going to be able to find people.
Yeah. So what's the biggest change in Steph Curry's game over the years? He got in the weight room because he was frail when he first came in. And he now plays strong basketball to me because he's got a hand. He can get to the rim anytime he feels like it. She needs to maybe get in the weight room. I think she's going to get roughed up. I think they're going to go hard at her because this is physical basketball. It's way more physical to me when I watch it than college basketball is. Mm. So,
yeah, absolutely. The girls are stronger, faster. Every level you get to, stronger, faster, better. Smarter.
Well, girls turn into women, right?
Yeah, like stronger, faster, better, smarter.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Every time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an adjustment period. Once she gets past that adjustment, like we saw Wembanyama, he got past that adjustment in that period, and then that second half of the season, he was just dominating.
Yeah.
And this is what you're going to see. You can't deny greatness, and she's going to be a great. I guarantee that.
All right. Now back to Keyshawn's point, and I was just flabbergasted by this when I saw that all four of the first four picks have to make the exact same salaries, and it starts at $76,000 a year. So the first four picks in the draft make $76,000, then goes to $78,000, $85,000, and the fourth year is $97,500.
That's just, as you would say, Skip, okay, that's just wrong.
It's just wrong. Yeah. It's wrong.
No, it's wrong.
And now she's become...
Those salaries should increase heavily.
She has become such a drawing card for this league where I just... mentioning as I open up the topic that the defending champs in Las Vegas have already moved their game against Caitlin from 12,000 seats to 20,000 because they know they can sell 8,000 more tickets. And that's a lot of money that she's bringing in.
You know,
well, to me, at some point, are they going to join the real world?
Their TV rights deal is coming up here.
Okay.
So
I wonder if Caitlin and her representatives will join the real world and she'll eventually hold out for more money because I think she deserves more than $76,000, right?
Yeah, seriously. Absolutely.
Come on.
They all do.
They're going to appreciate her because, like, the Jordan effect. I remember the Jordan effect.
Yeah.
He came back and was playing for Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And the revenue of the league went up.
To remember that, but
the revenue of the
with
league.
You.
No, the revenue of the league went up because of Jordan.
Of course,
this is what you're gonna see here.
Of course,
the revenue. They call it basketball BRI, basketball related revenue. So overall, there's a big pot put into a pot in the NBA to say everything basketball related goes into this pot, and this is how we can make salaries increase. This is how you can get bonuses. This is what's the, I think, kind of effect that she's going to have on the WNBA. Because everywhere she's going to go, she's going to sell out, where that doesn't happen in the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to buy Caitlin Clark jerseys. So the overall pie of the WNBA and the value of it is going to go up because of her. Now we're going to see salaries increase. And so, to me, I just believe they should embrace her, the other players, Taurasi, and say, look, she's helped grow our game. We've heard Dawn Staley say thank you.
They won
the championship,
and Dawn Staley said thank you. That was at the trophy
I don't think, in all fairness, Dawn Taurasi, PP, I don't think she isn't respecting her. I don't think that she's not embracing her. I think there was a little bit of UConn along with the hype that's coming along with her.
Me being one of the greatest.
Now y'all acting like she's just getting ready to come in here and cook us.
Yeah,
she just beat my alma mater. No, I'm not having it. I think that was a little bit of that.
I mean, that smelled like a little bitterness. I mean, wasn't it? I mean, I'm clear. You watch your back instead of like, I didn't hear Dawn Staley say that. She was getting thanked by everybody.
All right, I'm going to make one last objective point about Caitlin Clark because, as I told you the day after they lost to South Carolina, I'm treating the women just the way I treat the men in objectivity because they've earned that.
Yes.
Okay, so she said last night that she went straight home when they got back to Iowa City. She went to her town, I forget what the name of it is, away from Iowa City, and she said, my mom cooked me a home-cooked meal, and we celebrated. Okay, so it surprised me a bit that she said, I celebrated, even though her achievement, the magnitude of it was to be celebrated. She wasn't very good in the last three quarters against South Carolina. And if you've got that basketball killer in you, the way this is what separates, as you well know, at the top, if she's going to be that, if she's going to be her, if she's going to be it, then you should have taken that a little harder than you did. Because she shot 5 for 20 in the last three quarters. She shot 2 for 10 from three in the last three quarters. And they fell apart after she had the greatest first quarter I think anybody's ever had, and certainly in a championship game. She was spectacular.
But when you realize, Skip, that you're the only Lone Ranger out there and you're trying to do it all by yourself,
there's a lot of that happening.
Sometimes, you know, pressure will burst the pipe.
Okay.
And in fairness to her, she gave him 18 in the first quarter or whatever, first quarter. And you look up in the other three quarters, she didn't give us the same thing.
Yeah.
But none of the other people came to the party.
No.
So if I'm carrying you every single day.
Paul thought they were better than I did.
If I'm carrying you every single day, every time I step on the court, at some point, God, somebody help me, please.
No, Kate Martin went in the second round last night for what it was worth.
I mean, they played in the national championship, too.
On her back, though.
2 years in a row.
On her back.
She, I mean, yeah, it was on her back. She's just so damn good that she was this much better than her second best player. But yeah, those players can play. They don't get to the national championship without that. You know, so she felt like, all right.
But it's listen, I did all I could do.
But in the end, when we talk about can she dominate pro basketball, the intangibles are how you dominate. That's what separates, right?
Understood. Okay. But what are you made of? In the biggest games, you want the brightest lights, and you want to shine at the brightest moments. There's no question about it. But damn, Skip, I mean,
it's draining. It's draining.
Yeah, man, it's mentally.
I mean,
it's tough.
It's night after night after night. She's getting all the attention. They're coming after. I have to be the best player every night. Yep. And then after that, I went and had a good meal with my mom, and I celebrate because it was so draining. Now I came home into some real life stuff.
The people that was defending her.
I felt normal today.
Yeah.
I felt normal today sitting with my mom.
The individuals that was defending her from South Carolina, they was giving maximum effort, right? Maximum effort.
And they were on a mission.
Unlike LSU.
She beat them a year ago.
Unlike LSU, when they played LSU, they didn't give max. They tried. But it wasn't maximum
but
effort.
LSU had beaten them the year before, so they didn't have that revenge factor. And that, listen, South Carolina was on a revenge tour just because of Caitlin Clark and what she did to them in the semifinals a year ago.
They need to pay them. They need to give them some more money, for real.
We just spent 10 really good minutes talking about women's basketball. I liked it. And I think we're going to be doing a whole lot more of that. I had a good time. Man, as a Cowboy fan, this story just tore me up yesterday. Even felt like the last straw. The Eagles were able to extend Devontae Smith for 3 more years so that he and A.J. Brown both make about $25 million a year and presumably will be very happy co-campers. My guy CeeDee Lamb, who has been in the league a year longer than Devontae, still doesn't have a new deal and, of course, did not show up for the Cowboys' voluntary workouts yesterday. The Eagles have given massive new deals to their two best offensive linemen, Landon Dickerson and Jordan Mailata. We lost Tyron Smith and Tyler Biadasz, and I guess we're going to replace both of them with rookie draft picks. The Eagles went out and signed Saquon Barkley to a nice new deal. We didn't even make an attempt to sign Derrick Henry, who lives in Dallas in the off seasons. The Eagles signed two defensive difference makers in C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Devin White. Our lone free agent signing was veteran linebacker Eric Kendricks, not exactly a household name, who played for new defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer, of course, in Minnesota. Whoopee. The Eagles traded Hassan Reddick to the Jets, but they signed the Jets' sack leader Bryce Huff to a big new deal. Jalen Hurts is in the second year of a 5-year, $255 million deal, and I still don't know what Jerry Jones is doing with Dak Prescott's contract. Jalen Hurts is better than Dak Prescott. It feels like the Eagles have made all the right moves this offseason while Jerry Jones has pretty much just waited for the draft. The Eagles, check this out, have spent the most money in the NFL this offseason, while my Cowboys have spent the least in the NFL. The Eagles are now significantly better than the Cowboys, who look more and more like a team that will not make the playoffs. So, Keyshawn, please tell me I'm overreacting to all of the above.
You are overreacting. Football's not played till September.
Oh, okay.
That's the next game is in September, right? That's the next game. So why are you overreacting to the fact that Devontae Smith decided to do a deal a year early? So when you do a deal a year early, he did a deal a year early.
He did.
So therefore, you take a little bit of a haircut.
Maybe a little.
A little bit of a haircut, because if he's sitting around, he waits.
Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase.
Well, he can wait. He can wait, but he would have to. Those guys are a year ahead of him still. They're in line where CeeDee Lamb is at. Mm-hmm. He took a deal a year early. He's probably leaving $15 million on the table, plus or minus, over the course of those 3 years.
Okay, wouldn't you say that's advantage Philadelphia?
Well, look, man, you can look at it a lot of different ways, right? We're willing to give you this money today. Here it is. You can sign it today. It's right here, $75 million. Or you can run the risk and be a risk taker.
Yep.
And anything could happen. You have a bad year. You could tear up your knee. You could do all sorts of weird stuff could happen. And this $75 million isn't there.
I got
you got to be smart mm-hmm. and strategic and understanding these things. You can't be emotional when you're negotiating. And so now you look at a CeeDee Lamb situation or a Michael Parsons situation, and you say, well, how come we can't get their deals done? How can we get... Michael Parsons got two more years to go, okay? He could take a discount, but Michael Parsons may want to be the highest paid pass rusher in the game.
Unfortunately, he will.
And they're not ready right now. They'll give him this deal. You want this? They'll give him that. They'll give him that $75 million if he wants it. Same thing with CeeDee Lamb. If CeeDee Lamb wants a discounted deal, I'm sure they offered him a deal a year ago. I'm sure the Cowboys said, we'd give you 19 a year.
I don't know that.
I am 1,000% sure a conversation took place with CeeDee Lamb and his representatives to the point where we could do it a year early if you want to, but here's the number. The number's only going to be $19 million. CeeDee Lamb representatives went to him and said, they'll pay you right now at 19. Do you want that? CeeDee, no. I want to be the highest paid dude. Okay, so you got to wait. You just got to wait. He's got to wait another, whatever, a couple months, 6 months, whatever it may be, to get to that $30 million number. And if that's what he's reaching for, I'm okay with that. Just like I'm okay with Devontae Smith taking this deal because it's early. Whenever you go early, you're going to always make less money.
Okay, but you're missing my point.
What's your point?
Advantage Eagles. They got two happy campers in Devontae and AJ. They're both making $25 million for the next 3 years.
Yes.
Way to go.
That's good.
Way to go.
But that's not what CeeDee Lamb obviously wants. CeeDee Lamb, you don't think the Dallas Cowboys would give CeeDee Lamb $25 million a year? Of course they would. But that's not what CeeDee Lamb wants. CeeDee Lamb wants to be the highest paid receiver because he deserves to be the highest paid wide receiver.
I'm facing a camp holdout. I don't think it'll be a hold-in. He'll probably just hold out.
Well, he'll go to minicamp because he doesn't want to get fined. And then he'll go to training camp because he doesn't want to be fined. And they'll work on his deal if they can't get it done between now and the start of training camp.
Smells wrong to me.
How? Why, Skip?
He was the best receiver in football. There are times when you just say, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get it done ahead of schedule.
They're not going to try to make him play on this year's salary, Skip.
No.
They're not.
No.
They're not going to do that.
Okay.
He's too important to what they're trying to do.
So they go get Saquon, and we're going to start a rookie at running back. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen.
You didn't want Saquon.
Okay. I don't love Saquon, but he's way better than my rookie's going to be, right? We'll draft a rookie in the second round.
You didn't want to pay Saquon $12.5 million a year.
Okay, but he did get $12.5 million a year.
You didn't want to get that to him.
Okay. I'm not a big Saquon fan, but
so what are you complaining about?
I'm a big Derrick Henry fan, and we didn't even try, and he went for $9 million guaranteed for the two. He got $9 million a year for 2 years. That's what he got.
Yes.
That would have been chicken feed for Jerry Jones because it was a glaring weakness.
But that's not, it doesn't fit what y'all want to do.
Yes, it does.
It does not. Skip, you want a every down, three down back. You like to throw the football. You got a $60 million quarterback and a $30 million receiver. They want to put the ball in the air. They'll run it some, but that's not their style back. When was the last time the Dallas Cowboys had a 6'3", 240-pound running back? It's not what they like.
We had a 6-foot, 225-pound running back when he was a rookie and a second-year player and a third-year player dominate the league, and that was Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, but he ain't 6'3".
No, but he ran like he was 6'3". He ran with that kind of force.
And he caught the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, Derek Henry can catch it a little bit.
No. Catching it versus being a threat are two different things, Skip. Well, he fits Baltimore way better than he does the Dallas Cowboys. And if you want to talk about the Eagles got better this offseason, yeah, they got better because they signed some players, but it's all on paper until September.
Okay, Jordan Mailata is a really good player. Landon Dickerson is a really good player, and they locked them
both up. But Jordan Mailata was found playing rugby.
Mm-hmm.
They brought him over. That's their baby. They groomed him. They put him in a position to get the big payday. The same thing the Dallas Cowboys have done for years when they draft players. They re-sign their players that they draft. They may not get to the third and the fourth contract, but they certainly get to the second contracts with the Cowboys all the time.
I love C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Everywhere he goes, good things happen because he's a catalyst for a defense. Devin White, I'm his biggest fan. He makes things happen. He is a blitzing force and a tackling force. And I don't know what happened last year at Tampa because he ended up having to take 1 year for $4 million. Would I like to have him in Dallas? You better believe I would. Because we have a glaring hole at linebacker after Leighton Vander Esch couldn't sustain it with his neck injury.
So, but he didn't want to go to Dallas. He went to Philly.
Thank you. So they even added Paris Campbell to their receiving core, and you even told me you like him because he can fly,
man. He's a kick-return guy who can run.
Yeah, I just like him. That Uzama, C.J. Uzama, who was a favorite target of Joe Burrow's. Now he's their backup tight end. They just keep making great move after great move after. I thought it was going to hurt them to lose Hassan Reddick, and they signed Bryce Huff, who I'm not that familiar with, but all he did was have 10 sacks for the Jets. I think he's pretty good. And they gave him his money. They gave him $17 million a year. That's pretty good.
Okay.
Okay? So they went boom, 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 boom. The advantage, 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 advantage. They spent the most money in the offseason. We spent the least money
in the NFL. So what if the Philadelphia Eagles lose in the first round? Then what did they spend, though? To go to the first round and lose?
I don't think they have designs on losing in the first round.
No one ever has designs on losing anything.
They fell on their face last year.
Okay, so what if they fall? So what if they fall on their face in this desperate
move? Howie Roseman, by the way, Howie Roseman didn't even play high school football. Can you believe he's this smart? Didn't even play high school football. And he said, watch this. And he did a number on his roster through the offseason.
They have a better roster than you.
They have a way better
roster. But that doesn't mean it's going to translate. We've seen this before, whether it was the Washington Football Commanders or whatever the time the name was,
when
Deion and Bruce Smith and all these, Mark Carrier, they had everybody over there. We watched it with Philadelphia, the Eagles, and the Dream Team. We've seen this before, sign a bunch of players in the offseason, and it did not amount to anything.
I'm just being objective about this. This all feels right to me.
Oh, it feels right. It feels right to me, too.
It doesn't feel like swings and misses, like plunges.
No, all these players are relatively young, and they can still play.
Albert Haynesworth or somebody. You know, it's not like that. It's not like.
But you want the Cowboys to do that, though.
No, I just want them to try to measure up to the Eagles. Like, at some point, you have to do something.
You got three players.
Yeah.
That are eating up a large majority of your salary cap. You have to make decisions.
I hate to even say this.
You have to make decisions
because it's so painful to me to even publicly utter these words. We were down 27-0 in the first half of a home playoff game as the 2 seed
against the
against the youngest team in the playoffs.
What is 6 seed? What were Green Bay?
Seven.
There
was 7 seed. Okay, we were down 27-0, and now. It feels like Philly is operating with a different cap. Like their cap must be twice the size of ours, right?
No, they just don't have. They did not have the same amount of players eating up. You got three players that accounts. You actually probably got 5 players that accounts for majority of your salary cap.
Okay, and where did that get us against Green Bay? Exactly.
Well, you got to spread the wealth.
Oh.
Do a better job.
Really?
Do a better job.
Okay. Well, we're stuck, and we're stuck with Dak Prescott. And I'm going to say it again. Jalen Hurts is better than Dak Prescott. He just is. I'll take him. I'll take Jalen Hurts over Dak Prescott. And there's
Take anybody over. You'll take Kirk Cousins over Dak Prescott.
Well, I'd take you over Dak Prescott.
Exactly. Yeah. You'll take anybody, like I said. You just don't like Dak Prescott like you don't like LeBron. Same thing.
Keyshawn, this smells wrong to me. This feels like this is heading the worst direction. Because Jerry's all about the draft, so he's going to try to play 4 or 5 rookie starters. You're going to lose, man. You're not going to make the playoffs. Just watch. I'm first guessing. I don't like it. In years past, I've said I love what they do. I loved what they did last year with Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore. You see any of those?
Gilmore's still out there.
He's still sitting out there. But you told me he visited Charlotte.
Yeah, but just because you visit doesn't mean that you're going to sign with him, Skip.
Okay.
You can bring him back.